Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911. Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And that is a nice ring to it, Jesse. Good morning.
Reporting for duty, sir. 10-8 for Jesus, 10-8 for Mary, under the patronage of St. Michael the Archangel.
Amen. And Jesse, tell the listeners where you came from this morning.
Ruben, I almost feel bad saying it, man, but since you're twisting my arm, I feel bad. I just came back from Holy Mass right now. And I've got Jesus in my body right now for about 15 minutes. I just walked in the door, received Holy Communion on my knees in the tongue. Mm. Back 90% of the church did. The pastor said, those who want to receive in the hand, this line over here to the right. Those who want to receive on your knees in the tongue to the left. Guess what? 95% of the people at daily mass went to the line with the priest to receive on our knees in the tongue on a rail.
Wow, that's...
It just goes to show you the hunger of people. Mm-hmm. And about four or five people went, people a little bit left of center there, went over and received in their hands by the EHMC.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, wow. So, Jesse, that's that. We're nowhere close to that over here in California. In fact, it seems like our governor is pushing away even further. Now he's saying that... things aren't going to open up till August, at the end of July, August, you know, so.
Ruben, a lot of this is being done. I actually believe I see something insidious in this.
Oh, definitely.
There is an anti-Catholic shadow that looms over all of this, okay? Because the devil knows that the power that basically orders and regulates and keeps planet Earth from imploding within itself through evil are the graces, the economy of graces that flow through the sacraments of the Catholic Church. That is what keeps evil at bay. That's what keeps this world, you know, functioning and somewhat orderly until the second coming of Christ or to our own particular judgment. And, the devil knows that he can use evil men. If he can cut off those sacramental graces, what we call in theology the economy of graces, evil can reign and evil can escalate. And that's what we're seeing right now, Ruben. There's something very deep here, something very diabolical in this.
Oh, 100%, Jesse. I if people can't see that, they're just like the sheep being led to the slaughter. You know, I can't. We're going to talk about this today. And
let me mention something else, Ruben. I'll tell you who else is being punished. Now, let's go to the natural level. President Trump is loved by small business people. In fact, the small business people are the one that put him in office. They voted for him, but the majority. You know, people just, you know, having their own little mom-and-pop store, their own little restaurants, their own little, you know, dollar store. Mom-and-pop operations, small businesses. I got a small business called On Fire Evangelization, okay? It's the little businessmen that put him in office. They're being punished by blue state Democrat governors. They're being punished, Ruben. And you know who's not being punished are the ones that actually hate Trump and love the globalist. Yahoo.com, you know, Facebook, you know, big business, big pharmaceuticals, you know, Raytheon, you know, Lockheed. They're not affected.
Right.
These are the people that are with the globalists, and they can't stand President Trump because he's a nationalist. He wants to make America great. They are not affected at all by any of this. It's a small little business person who's got Doña Maria's restaurant, you know, in Pico Rivera for the last 40 years and lives from week to week, from paycheck to paycheck, paying their employees. Those are the ones that are affected, Ruben, and this is done by design.
Yeah, those people that are making these decisions, they're not, their paycheck hasn't been stopped. You know,
of course it's not, because
they're not waiting on a stimulus check. This is bad.
I'll say more than bad. This is evil. This is evil. And I'll tell you, in my opinion, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. But I can tell you one thing: This smells to me like the spirit of the Antichrist on planet Earth.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah, Jesse, you told me something yesterday off air. And, you know, it had to do with your move from Southern California, where you spent your, you grew up, you spent your whole life.
All my life.
Family's here. And about, what, 4 or 5 years ago, you took a move to Arizona, or was it three?
Yeah, Ruben, about 5 years ago, you know, I'm a man of faith, and I'm a man that's, I'm deep in my faith. God, praise God. He just gave me a hunger to get to heaven, you know, like 25 years ago, and it hasn't gone away. It's awesome. Called an interior conversion, and so I immerse myself in Catholic thought. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner just like every one of you, but I do immerse myself in Catholic thought, and I do have a strong prayer life because I know, I understand, I was a fighter. You know, Ruben, you're an athlete. You know what it takes to get to a certain level, discipline, regiment, you know, structure. I'm all about that. That's why I think that's why we connected very early on. We're both athletes. And we're both, you know, retired cops. We know that structure is what a man needs, duty, obligation. Mm-hmm. And so I do, when I had that conversion, I realized that I need to structure my prayer life. And so I did. And I thank God. And it's you know, I hit three times a day, dedicated prayer, grace before meals, grace after meals, mm-hmm. and a rosary in between these three times of prayer. And I've been doing that for 20, 25 years. In my prayer time, Ruben, several years ago, God didn't speak to me. I didn't hear a voice. But it's in prayer, you can see where God will impress yeah. something on your heart. There's these impressions where you just kind of like know something intuitively. God is just triggering something. And something kept telling me over and over in prayer, leave California. Something bad is going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. Something looms very dark in the near future. It just kept coming up, at going to Mass, going to Adoration, reading my Bible, something about California. There's a darkness that's going to come about. This was 5 years ago. I told my wife, I'm going to have to follow my prayer, my prayer instincts, Anita. I think I'm right on this. I said, I know we have all our family, both sides. Let's sell the house. Follow me and just trust me on this. And let's go somewhere else, somewhere safer. Like Jesus went to the desert. Let's go to the desert. I just have a feeling that if I have to set up a beachhead operation so that I can survive as a Catholic evangelist and be effective, I said, something's going to happen in the future. Well, Ruben, 5 years later, this is probably what God kept putting in my mind in prayer, is Governor Gavin Newsom, you know.
As we like to say, Gavin Gruesome. Okay.
Yeah. Or Comrade Newsom would weaponize a virus like this to basically assault the constitutional rights of Americans in California and assault our religious liberties. This is probably what, and again, Ruben, I don't know when this is going to stop in some of those blue states. And again, here's what they can do. All they can do is say in 6 months, they said, oh, it's back again. Resurgence. They could keep playing with us, Ruben, because it's like a flu. Flus come seasonally. So if they're going to use this to weaponize against the church and against conservatives saying, oh, 6 months, oh, it's back again. COVID-19 is back again. Lockdowns, stop businesses. This can go on, Ruben, until the second coming of Christ.
Yeah, and then that's where they're going to introduce the vaccine. Unless you get this vaccine, you know, Bill Gates is pushing, you know, Fauci's pushing, then you're not going to be able to go out to work. You're not going to be able to go shopping. You're going to be locked down because you don't want to, succumb to the man, so to speak. You just, this is diabolical, Jesse. People have to see this. I know our listeners, they understand this, but we have to get this message out to others. We have to get them out. Our listeners, you have to get it out to others as well. Our family members that are, probably in darkness.
Drinking the Kool-Aid. A lot of our family members are drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse, let's get into this this article.
Yeah.
We have three cardinals. They join global appeal of decrying crackdown on basic freedoms over the coronavirus. God bless these guys.
Yeah.
Archbishop Vigano, who gathered the signatures and communicated with Cardinal Serra about the initiative, now has issued a timeline of his communications with Serra. And so the story originally indicated, based on information from the organizers, that Cardinal Robert Serra, prefect of the Vatican's Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, had joined the appeal. But then the cardinal has now written on Twitter that he did not sign. From a personal point of view, I may share some questions or preoccupations raised regarding restrictions on fundamental freedom, but I didn't sign that petition, he wrote.
Well, you know why he did that, Ruben?
Of course.
Come on, it's called survival. Yeah. He works in the Vatican. If his boss sees him signing this, basically saying that this is a conspiracy that against the church and stuff, I mean, let's just be honest, Ruben. Pope Francis is our pope. He's a valid pope, but he is friends with a lot of bad people. And if Cardinal Serra is caught talking about Jeffrey Sachs and George Soros and Bill Gates, you know, by intimation, alluding to them, he could he could be out of a job. So again, he's just trying to survive.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he shares the sentiments of this document. It's called Appeal for the Church and the World.
It was no different
Catholics than and all people of goodwill.
No different when Pope Benedict had emeritus had apparently signed us Cardinal Serra's book. And then it was retracted. So it's kind of the same thing. You know, they just don't want to be seem like they're butting heads with the Holy Father.
And it's a smart move, Ruben, because this is what's called infiltration.
Yeah.
This is how the Catholic Church gotta play their game. You gotta keep your pocket. Hey,
all right, what? Don't be right back. All right, we'll be right back. All right, we'll be right back.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, two-man car. We are 10-8, open for calls, and we're giving you some Catholic briefing on a very important letter that I think was written by some cardinals, and they've got some people, other bishops and priests that have signed it. So,
and they're big shot cardinals, Ruben. Yeah. Vatican Congregation for Divine Worship, the formal cardinal for the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, a former Vatican ambassador to the U.S. We're not talking about small potatoes here. And by the way, as we share this this letter that they wrote, I agree with everything that they said. It's well written, and I agree with everything that they're saying. God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump into the letter, Ruben, and just slice it up and dice it up.
Okay, this is the letter that they wrote to us, and it's an appeal for the church and the world, to Catholics and all people of goodwill. Veritas liberatbi vos, John 8:32. At this time of great crisis, we pastors of the Catholic Church, by virtue of our mandate, consider it our sacred duty to make an appeal to our brothers in the episcopate, to the clergy, to religious, to the holy people of God, and to all men and women of goodwill. This appeal has also been undersigned by intellectuals, doctors, lawyers, journalists, and professionals who agree with its content and may be undersigned by those who wish to make it their own. The facts have shown that under the pretext of the COVID-19 epidemic, the inalienable rights of the citizens have in many cases been violated, and their fundamental freedoms, including the exercise of freedom of worship, expression, and movement, have been disproportionately and unjustifiably restricted. Mm-hmm. Public health must not and cannot become an alibi for infringing on the rights of the millions of people around the world, let alone for the depriving the civil authority of its duty to act wisely for the common good.
Powerful sentence. That was powerful what they wrote there. They went right for the jugular vein, Ruben.
Yeah. This is particularly true as growing doubts emerge from several quarters about the actual contagiousness, danger, and resistance of the virus. Many authoritative voices in the world of science and medicine confirm that the media's alarmism about COVID-19 appears to be absolutely unjustified.
Ruben, there's a lot of doctors right now on YouTube that are getting their videos taken down.
Yeah.
There's this one doctor, he's very outspoken, his name's Dr. Rashid Buttar. He's the medical director for the Center of Advanced Medicine in Moorville, North Carolina.
I've heard him, yeah.
He is very outspoken on YouTube. He has very impressive credentials. And he is saying that this is exactly as these bishops wrote. This is a scam. This is a scam for globalists to amass power. And they're just hiding under pseudoscience. By using people that are on the government dole and also that are getting big money donations from Bill Gates and George Soros. But again, there's a lot of good doctors that aren't on the government dole that have the same type of credentials as Fauci. And they're saying, this is not true. This is a lie.
Right.
And so, again, the doctors that aren't on the government dole are telling us the truth. The doctors that are on Bill Gates's payroll and on the government dole are saying this is the worst thing since the bubonic plague.
Yeah. You know, Jess, I just want to preface it by saying, hey, our apologies and our prayers go out to those family members who have lost loved ones due to the virus. There's no doubt it is a virus that is affecting a lot of people, but the mortality rate is as minute compared to other things we've seen in the past. And so
exactly.
Yeah. You know, the regular flu kills 60,000 people a year. So this may have the ability to spread more quickly. So it's more contagious, but more people are surviving because of it. So if you don't have underlying conditions, maybe you're not elderly, and God bless those priests, I think it was six priests in Philadelphia that lost their lives. They were all living in one house, all elderly retired priests. They six of them succumbed to it. So, but again,
Ruben, put things in perspective. You know, people are saying, oh, no, he died of COVID. Death isn't a tragedy. Wake up, Catholics. Mm-hmm. Death is not a tragedy. Going to hell is a tragedy. If you die in a state of mortal sin, tragedy.
Yeah.
If you die in a state of grace, victory. It's better than winning the Super Bowl. So he's dying. He's dying. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Is the person right with God's state of grace? Yeah, they're good Catholics. They went to him daily. Okay, then. Praise God. They don't want to come back here. Trust me. Now, the person died in mortal sin. That's another story. That's a tragedy beyond what words can even describe.
Yeah. And you know, what's sad is that those who are dying aren't getting the sacraments, the last rites, the, you know, extreme unction, and so there, that's a tragedy.
Let me give the audience a secret, okay, Ruben? It's not a secret. It's actually a Catholic teaching. It's an old Catholic teaching, way before Vatican II. If you're dying, and you make, listen to what I'm saying, if you make a perfect act of contrition, there doesn't have to be a priest and nobody around. You're by yourself. You're dying. If you Catholics make a perfect act of contrition, which means you're totally sorry for your sins out of love for God, guess what happens? That's a St. Dismas moment. All your sins are removed, even your mortal sins, as long as you have the intention to go to a priest as soon as possible. But again, if you die because you can't go to a priest, you're locked up in a room, but you did a perfect act of contrition with the intention, as soon as this thing opens up one day, I'm going to go to the priest and I'm going to make this, I'm going to ratify this confession and make it good sacramentally. Guess what? If you die before you get there, guess what? You died in a state of grace and you're forgiven.
I agree with everything you're saying.
Well, that's the Council of Trent, what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. But the problem is that the Vatican II Catholics, many of them don't know that. They don't know their faith. They haven't been taught this.
They haven't heard that, Ruben.
No. So there's the tragedy. We lost our aunt. My aunt, a very fine woman. She was, she came back to the faith late in her life. She was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force.
Better late than ever, right?
A lieutenant colonel in the Army, actually, nursing corps. And she passed last week. So next week is her funeral. I'm not going to tell anybody where it's going to be at because we're going to have a mass for her because we know some people.
We don't want the Newsom squad to send his
oh yeah,
the COVID-19 team out there.
So yeah, we will have a service at the gravesite. They've limited it to 10 people, but kind of wink and nod. We don't really enforce it type of thing. So we'll see what happens. But I'm glad that we're able to do that.
Yeah. Let's jump back to the article, Ruben. Here's what it says. There's three cardinals and archbishops. We have reason to believe on the basis of official data on the incidence of the epidemic as related to the number of deaths that there are powers, Bill Gates, George Soros, United Nations, World Health Organization, Democrat Party, Planned Parenthood, that there are powers interested in creating panic among the world's population with the sole aim of permanently imposing unacceptable forms of restriction on freedoms of controlling people and tracking their movements. That's exactly what they want. The left, track our movements. The imposition of these illiberals, so notice they're saying, this is not even liberal, it's not gender. This is not even a good liberal would agree to this. That's why they're saying the imposition of these illiberal measures is a disturbing prelude to the realization of a world government beyond all control. Guess what? A world government beyond all control or under one person's control. We call that the Antichrist. What's the next paragraph say, Ruben?
We also believe that in some situations, the containment measures that were adopted, including the closure of shops and businesses, have precipitated a crisis that has brought down entire sectors of the economy. This encourages interference by foreign powers and has serious social and political repercussions. Those with governmental responsibility must stop these forms of social engineering by taking measures to protect their citizens whom they represent and in whose interests they have serious obligations to act. Likewise, let them help the family, the cell of society, by not unreasonably penalizing the weak and elderly, forcing them into a painful separation from their loved ones. And that's what's happening. Those in the hospitals, they're not letting us go in to visit them. The criminalization of personal and social relationships must likewise be judged as an unacceptable part of the plan of those who advocate isolating individuals in order to better manipulate and control them. And it's all about fear, Jesse. Just keep instilling in this fear. It's, some people have called it fear porn. We've talked about, what people are sitting at home now, what has gone up, alcoholism, drugs, pornography. And this is, we got to turn off from these TVs because that's what they're putting into us. That it's fear. And so Disconnect from those people that are giving you false
information. Disconnect from the propagandist liars.
Yep.
And Ruben, and I'll tell you what is up. I just read another article that suicide hotlines around the country are through the roof.
Right.
People are desperate. They're losing their houses. They're losing their ability to provide for their family because, yes, again, they're not high-paid government workers that don't have to show up and you're still going to get a paycheck. And so, like they said, the next paragraph is powerful where they say, watch, it said, these three prelates of the church say, we ask the scientific community to be vigilant so that cures for COVID-19 are offered in honesty for the common good. Every effort must be made to ensure that shadow business interests do not influence the choices made by government leaders and international bodies. It is, in other words, they're warning people because a lot of the Bill Gates people, they're trying to make this vaccine out of embryonic fetal stem cell research cells so they can continue the abortion Holocaust industry. They're saying these archbishops are saying it is unreasonable to penalize those remedies that have proved to be effective. That hydrochloroquine.
Yeah, hydrochloroquine.
And are often inexpensive just because one wishes to give priority to treatments or vaccines that are not as good. Yeah, the things that are being made by Bill Gates. Bill Gates is saying, wait for my stuff. Mm-hmm. Forget about that other stuff that works. Right. Yeah, because the market's already flooded with it and nobody can make money off of it. That's why they're saying, forget about hydro, however you pronounce it. let's get this new stuff here that I'm still inventing. It says, put which guarantees pharmaceutical companies far greater profits. Yeah, that's why Gates left Microsoft. He's not getting into pharmaceuticals. The guy just knows how to make money and exacerbate public health expenditures. Let us also remember as pastors that for Catholics, here it is morally unacceptable to develop or use vaccines derived from material from aborted fetuses. See, these prelates know exactly where these guys are going. These globalists, these atheist, godless globalists are going, Ruben.
Yeah.
See, they want to justify the abortion Holocaust by saying, hey, we need aborted fetuses because their cells are the remedy for this virus.
Mm. Yeah,
see the connection?
Yep. And what makes those people with COVID, their life more important than the people that are the collateral damage that's happening because of this virus, the suicides, the, you know, destroyed families and all that. It's aching my head. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buy
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. We are a two-man car, 10-8, and we're talking about an article or a letter that was written and signed by several cardinals, high-ranking officials, and other lay people, attorneys, good Catholics, doctors.
They're spot on, Ruben. They're not mincing words. They're not using politically correct language.
This is for us, ladies and gentlemen. This is for us. So let's go on with it. It says, after, you know, they warn us that we cannot use vaccines derived from material from aborted fetuses. We also ask government leaders to ensure that forms of control over people, whether through tracking systems, and they're talking maybe about those things that Bill Gates is talking about, putting little chips in their bodies to
HR 666.
Wow. Okay. Or any other forms of location finding are rigorously avoided. The fight against COVID-19, however serious, must not be the pretext for supporting the hidden intentions of supranational bodies that have very strong commercial and political interests in this plan. In particular, citizens must be given the opportunity to refuse these restrictions on personal freedom without any penalty whatsoever being imposed on those who do not wish to use vaccines, contact tracking, or any other similar tool. So you're saying we can't be punished if we say, hey, I'm not taking the vaccine. I don't need the vaccine. I'm not going to go along with it, and you're not going to be able to track me. So let us also consider the blatant contradiction of those who pursue policies of drastic population control.
Bill Gates, George Soros.
And at the same time present themselves as the savior of humanity. When did Bill Gates, when did he become the expert on pharmaceuticals and viruses? Anyway, without any political or social legitimacy, finally, the political responsibility of those who represent the people can in no way be left to experts who can indeed claim. Which is disturbing to say the least.
That's what they're talking about.
Yeah. And the other yesterday, I think President Trump, or the day before, he disagreed with Fauci. He said, hey, because Fauci was saying we can't be opening schools. It's going to be a while before we can open schools. And President Trump said that wasn't necessary. He didn't agree with that statement. So,
yeah, that's good. He's President Trump. I think he's being advised by the right people that Fauci's one of the. He's doesn't have the country's best interest. He's a globalist, and President Trump is using him less and less, I've noticed. But he's got to walk on eggshells on this, because the whole world's watching everything, and they're going to try to use this to demonize him, saying, yeah, there he goes, gets rid of the best doctor in the world. Yeah, right.
Right, right. Yeah.
It says here, in the media, there's those in the media. Yeah. They read from the same script. Six billionaires, in case you're wondering. Six billionaires own all 100 media conglomerates. That's why shows like this are very important, and others on social media, on the internet, because we're not getting big money from anybody. So we're going to just tell you from the Catholic faith what the church teaches. So it says, we strongly urge those in the media to commit themselves to providing accurate information. So the Archbishop basically said, quit giving fake news, and not penalizing dissent by resorting to forms of censorship, as it is happening widely on social media. Yeah, a bunch of doctors are being censored that dissent with Mr. Fauci.
Yep.
In the press and on television. Providing accurate information requires that room be given to voices that are not aligned with a single way of thinking. This allows citizens to conscientiously access the facts without being heavily influenced by partisan interventions. A democratic and honest debate is the best antidote to the risk of imposing subtle forms of dictatorship, presumably worse than those our society has seen rise and fall in the recent past. Next.
Finally, as pastors responsible for the flock of Christ, Let us remember that the church firmly asserts her autonomy to govern, worship, and teach. The autonomy and freedom are an innate right that our Lord Jesus Christ has given her for the pursuit of her proper ends. For this reason, as pastors, we firmly assert the right to decide autonomously that the celebration of Mass and the sacraments, just as we claim absolute autonomy in matters falling within our immediate jurisdiction, such as liturgical norms and the ways of administering communion and the sacraments, the state has no right to interfere with any reason whatever in the sovereignty of the church. Ecclesiastical authorities have never refused to collaborate with the state, but such collaboration does not authorize civil authorities to impose any sort of ban or restrictions on public worship or the exercise of priestly ministry. The rights of God and the faithful are the supreme law of the church,
amen,
which she neither intends to nor can abdicate. We ask that restrictions on the celebration of public ceremonies be removed. Wow, powerful.
Powerful paragraph. We should like to invite all people of goodwill not to shirk their duty to cooperate for the common good, each according to his or her own state and possibilities in a spirit of fraternal charity. The church desires such cooperation, but this cannot disregard either a respect for natural law or a guarantee of individual freedoms. The civil duties to which citizens are bound imply the state's recognitions of their rights. I hope somebody emails this to Governor Newsom and Governor Cuomo.
Mm.
And the one from Michigan, too, whatever her name is.
We are all called to assess the current situation in a way consistent with the teaching of the gospel. This means taking a stand, either with Christ or against Christ. Let us not be intimidated or frightened by those who would have us believe that we are a minority. Good is much more widespread and powerful than the world would have us believe. We are fighting against an invisible enemy that seeks to divide citizens, to separate children from their parents, grandchildren from their grandparents, the faithful from their pastors, students from teachers, and customers from vendors. Let us allow centuries of Christian civilization to be...
No, let us not allow, Reuben. Let us not.
That's a big word I missed.
Yeah, yeah.
Let us not allow centuries of Christian civilization to be erased under the pretext of a virus and an odious technological tyranny to be established in which nameless and faceless people can decide the fate of the world by confining us to virtual reality. If this is the plan to which the powers of this earth intend to make us yield, know that Jesus Christ, King and Lord of history, has promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail, Matthew 16:18.
In that sentence, I think they're alluding to the Antichrist. That's the powers of this world that are going to come before the second coming of Christ, that of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And again, I think they're alluding to the Antichrist. Pope Benedict, this emeritus, he just gave an interview last week. He kept mentioning the word Antichrist. Very interesting. And one of the things we know about the Antichrist, well, two things we know from tradition with a capital T. He's going to stop the daily mass. That's what he has to do, to stop the economy of grace around the world. And number two, he's going to set up a one-world government. And this is what we're seeing here, Reuben, with these medical and Bill Gates and all these tyrants that are trying to use technology, and they're just trying to use fear, which is a tactic of Satan, by the way. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about that. Fear is a tactic of Satan. This is totally diabolical what's happening here, and the media is ginning up and playing on people's fears because the media knows that most people are weak in their faith. More people are more, as faith is weakened, it's easier to scare somebody.
Yeah.
Last two paragraphs say, let us entrust government leaders and all those who rule over the fate of nations to Almighty God, that he may enlighten and guide them in this time of great crisis. May they remember that just as the Lord will judge us pastors for the flock which he has entrusted to us, so will he also judge government leaders for the peoples whom they have the duty to defend and govern. With faith, let us beseech the Lord to protect the church and the world. May the Blessed Virgin, help of Christians, crush the head of the ancient serpent and defeat the plans of the children of darkness.
Yes. Hey, Jesse, we were alluding to or talking off air about a video by Raymond Arroyo on EWTN, and he had an attorney. What's her name?
She's Harmeen. I forget her name.
Yeah, she's
Harmeen. I think she's like an Egyptian.
And he was talking to her about that she's taken to court and going to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals now. She's representing Protestant ministers that that are pushing back on this. On this
government. Yeah, she's fighting for you guys in California, Ruben.
That's what she's doing.
The Joan of Arc.
And I didn't know that you said she's Catholic. And Raymond Arroyo asked her, hey, are there any bishops involved in this? Have they signed on to join you in this fight? And tragically, her answer was no. Raymond Arroyo, he looked surprised when he was asking back. So nobody has, you know, come forward. And nope, she just, and that is disheartening, Jesse. And that our leaders are kowtowing to the government, and they're, you know, and it goes back to follow the money. We said on other shows, you know, they receive a lot of federal money, so they don't want to bite the hand that feeds them. And that is a shame, because there are a lot of good priests, and I know there's priests that are listening to the show that are even on our chat room, and
they're grieving, Ruben. They're grieving.
They
because
know.
A lot of them are good holy men that want to do the right thing, and we just have bad leadership right now in many places. Not all. Not, you know, I'm not going to make a general statement. And today at Mass, the first reading, it's in Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 26. Again, it alludes to the fact that Judas went to hell. And as I heard the first reading and read it before on my way to Mass, I said, man, Judas went to hell. And he was a betrayer. I just thought, I said, well, who was Judas? He was an apostle. The Greek word for the office of an apostle is episcopate, which means he was the bishop. And so it just, as I'm at Mass today, I'm saying, Judas, the bishop, went to hell. Hmm. Ah, a bishop, if he cowers and dies in unrepentant mortal sin, can go to hell. And I just say that. I hope none of them go to hell. But the fact is, Judas is an example that you can be an apostle and a successor thereof. And if you die as a, do you know, being a coward is a mortal sin? It's in Revelation chapter 22. It's in I wrote a letter to Bishop Olmsted, my bishop here. A lot of people have. And I wrote him a strong letter. And I don't think I exceeded my bounds as a layperson. Again, Canon 212 gives us the right to do that. And I just told him, be a leader. Find that courage that you have received through the grace of your confirmation and ordination. Lead all the other bishops. Show them that we trust in Jesus more than we fear a virus. And I'm sure he was getting peppered with letters. 2 days after, he responded right back to me. 2 days later, he opened up daily Mass and all across the diocese. I'm not saying I had anything to do with it, but I'm saying I'm one of 1,000 people that he probably listened to.
Yeah, let's use your example, Jesse. Write to our bishop. Be right back.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Bye.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back. And if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Jesus 911. We are. We just finished a letter written by some high-ranking officials in the church that it's for us and for other shepherds of the church to take heed, and we gotta fight back, push back. And you know, Jesse, I came across something that was written by Mark Levin. He's a very smart lawyer. He's got a program on Fox. He worked in the government during the Reagan administration, so he knows his law. You know, he says that, you know, he's
a constitutional lawyer,
and he agrees with everything that we're saying here. And he's saying that and he's not Catholic, by the way, but he's a Christian. And he says President Trump's guidelines are voluntary and temporary. And but some Democratic states and cities are taking it, you know, one step further. You know, they're extending the lockdown, they're criminalizing behavior that he says that's what living under a communist regime looks like. And you applaud. People are being arrested in some states for spending too much time outside, and you applaud. Pastors are being arrested in some states for daring to hold church services, and you applaud. A child's birthday party is raided by police, and you applaud. A young woman is ticketed for going on a leisurely drive alone because it's deemed non-essential travel, and you applaud. A father's handcuffed and arrested in an empty park for playing softball with his six-year-old daughter and refusing to turn over his ID, and you applaud. A lone paddleboarder in the ocean on a beach without any other people around is arrested because he's violating quarantine orders, and you applaud. Businesses are being forcibly closed and padlocked, and owners arrested for refusing to shut down, and you applaud. Dairy farmers are being incentivized to stop dairy farming to sell their herds, and you don't seem to understand the implications. You're being told to use hotlines and online forms provided by your local governments to report your neighbors who don't obey, and you comply. You scold people day after day for not obeying a government edicts. And if any of us dare to question what's happening, you lecture about how we're a danger to society and we just don't care about people dying. You've somehow managed to convince yourselves that the people whose lives are affected by a virus are much more important than the people whose lives are being destroyed and in many cases leading to death by the effects of the worldwide economic shutdown and impending worldwide depression, the likes of which no one has ever seen before. At what point will you start questioning what's going on? At what point will you ask the virus how the virus got here from China? At what point will you question why the fake news keeps defending the communists? How far do you have to be pushed before you're jolted awake from your slumber? How far are you willing to go with this? If they told you to load your families onto train cars so that you could be taken to virus protection facilities for your own safety, would you do it? Yes. Yes, you would. That much has become painfully obvious to me. And the whole time, you'd be shaking your finger and yelling at those of us who refused, accusing us of being a danger to society and not caring if people die. But they don't have to load you onto train cars and take you to a virus protection facilities or force you to comply because you do that voluntarily. The fake news controls your mind. They control you through fear. They control you by convincing you that the world is a scary, dangerous place. But they're here to protect you because they care for you and keep you safe just as long as you obey. They know that as long as you're locked inside your comfortable home with Netflix, Hulu, CNN, NBC, ABC, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and a cell phone, you'll comply. No force is necessary for the majority of the herd. Bill Gates even wants to mandate antibody tests. Only those who are immune from viruses will be allowed to leave their homes and work. You are imprisoned willingly and you're too blind to see it. I will not be blinded. I will not be controlled by the government. Amendment 1, freedom of religion, speech, and the press. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government of a redress of grievances. bam, drop the mic.
That's right. That's the good stuff, Ruben. We agree with everything Mark Levin said there. Spoken like, again, common sense. There's death. I think we're mourning the death of common sense right now. But when you hear somebody like Mark Levin, these archbishops and cardinals, and when they're speaking sensibly, you're saying, wow, people out there, there are some normal people out there who haven't been brainwashed, by the leftist propaganda, which has spewed out of 90% of the media. But Ruben, I'm glad you grabbed the Constitution. I have it right in my hand here. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and who? Our posterity. Who's that? Our children. The Bill of Rights, Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting any establishment of religion, which means that Congress can't say the official religion of the U.S. is Calvary Chapel. They can't do that. But it also says, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, Congress, government cannot prohibit the exercise of religion. And that's why these lawsuits by like Mrs. Harmeen and others around the country that are fighting for the people and taking this to the different appellate courts, they're going to win. They got the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence on their side. They're going to win hands down. And this is why it's important to keep Trump in office, because he's putting normal people, people that have common sense, to be judges and justices, not leftist hacks from the ACLU. Also, something else very important, we're not able to provide it because one of our systems is down here in studio, but there's a good video which exposes, there was this Michigan Health Center that it was exposed because the workers, they orchestrated and they staged fake patients in a COVID-19 testing line, and they did this for CBS News. And I thank these young, brave young men and women. They're called Project Veritas. It's James O'Keefe. He's a Catholic. He's a young Catholic guy. And James O'Keefe, he calls himself a guerrilla journalist. And that's what he is. He does investigative reporting. He's the one that blew the lid off of Planned Parenthood and had those videos that he put on the internet where they were talking to doctors admitting that they were selling baby parts and all the other nefarious things that they were doing. But James O'Keefe, he started Project Veritas, this young Catholic guy, and he does undercover work to expose the liberal bias in the media and to show the tactics of the left. We can't show you the video because, again, one of our studios is not operating at the moment to play that video. But it's on, you can
our link.
Click on the link. It's archived on vmpr.org or my website, jesseromero.com. Click on the link. It's called hashtag expose CBS, Michigan Health Center workers stage fake patients in COVID-19 testing line. And now, if this is happening in Michigan, Ruben, I'm sure this has happened around the country in other blue states by Democrat governors, where they're saying, we've got to fake the numbers here and gin up the numbers so that we continue to get federal money and we continue to perpetuate fear.
Yeah.
And by the way, the lady that promoted this fake story, her name is Gayle King. She's the news anchor that's been there for years. She's also the one who promoted the fake Jussie Smollett story that she made up out of whole cloth. I thank God for doctors like Dr. Rashid Buttar, who's on YouTube, putting out the truth about a lot of this fake science that's being put out there. And one more little thing I want to mention. We won't have time to get into it. There's another article that we have on our show page, vmpr.org or jesseromero.com. It says over half of U.S. counties have had no COVID-19 deaths. Ruben, it's an article, but basically it, as they say, it exposes the man behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Jesse, I don't have a problem if you want to quarantine those that are ill or those maybe have underlying conditions or the elderly if they, you know, they don't want to expose themselves. But for the other 80% of the people, you can't impose that on us because we're healthy and we got to live our lives. And this is draconian measures. This is straight out of, you know, the Bolshevik and revolution. And You know, that hope they you put the two and two together on that Mark Levin when he's talking about getting into boxcars. I hope people realize that's what the Nazis did to the Jews. They got them on boxcars. Hey, we're going to take care of you. And they went off to Auschwitz and all the and their death chambers. So that, and he was shaking his hand, his finger at the liberals who are going along with this. Oh, that's all conspiracy theory you guys are bringing up, you know, and this is not. It's you don't see, and we talked about those doctors, the ones in Bakersfield that got taken off YouTube because they disagreed with the president said that because they disagreed with the WHO, they're giving.
So YouTube,
fake news.
These young millennials that run YouTube, they're the ones that are determining who's right and who's wrong.
Yes,
and these guys are the arbiters of truth.
Mark Zuckerberg,
do you believe that?
Mark Zuckerberg too on Facebook. You know, they're taking posts down that are not. It's freedom of speech, and you don't hear the media pushing back. Say, hey, you know, they're all about freedom of speech when it comes to censoring them. But then when these social media sites they censor the right, the conservatives, then that's okay with that. You know, well, that's fine. So. They're inconsistent, Jesse. They're fakes. They're fake news. Like
Ruben, and I'll tell you, I'm glad. Now I understand 3.5 years later why President Trump has been calling the news fake news almost from day one.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely right. Project Veritas, you know, Mark Levin and many, Michael Voris and Sean Hannity. There's Laura Ingraham, the Remnant, Michael Matt. There's so many people that are exposing one fake news story after another. I'm glad they're out there. Catholics, Protestants, seculars, people of goodwill are showing that President Trump is absolutely true when he calls them fake news. I just got a text here from a friend of the show. He says, my son is an emergency room nurse in California. He was furloughed due to lack of people in the ER. She says the ERs have been empty.
Wow.
So he was let go of his job. Yeah, remember, Ruben, day one, Mr. Fauci and the World Health Organization, millions of people are going to die. Now, here's the last thing I'm going to mention. Trust me, this is like the flu. It's going to come back, and here's what's going to happen. You heard it from Jess Romero. Whoever's behind this is going to unleash it again. They're going to unleash it again. They're just going to wait, probably before the election, and it'll probably be a deeper strain. The more people in the population, they're going to do this because President Trump is handling this right. And they're saying, oh, no, the election's too far away. We're going to have to do it again. They're going to try to time it before the election, Ruben. Yes. We're not over with this. These are evil men in this world that are going to use viruses, Ruben, to change the face of religion, freedom, the Constitution, and what we know as America.
I just hope President Trump just says, okay, you know, because we're an emergency, we're going to shut down the election. I'm president for another 4 years. You see how quick this will end. Wrap it up, Jesse.
Wrap it up. We're done. Jesus 911 up next. Gary Mishuda, hands-on apologetics. Stick around. You don't want to show that dial. You don't want to miss what's up with the big guy, Gary. And Nava and Romero, we're 10-7. We're out.
Batman and the Boy Wonder.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.